Part of the adventure of following Jesus is that we're called to live in a distinctive way that's different from the ways of the world. We're called to live by a different set of values, and we make living for God's kingdom a top priority in our lives. Now, Jesus had a lot to say about God's kingdom. He gave lectures on it, and he told lots of stories or parables about God's kingdom. Now, two of these parables are found in the Gospel of Mark, and we'll read them in just a moment. This is in the fourth chapter of Mark, and it comes toward the beginning of Jesus' ministry in Galilee. At the time, he was working in and around Capernaum, healing the sick and teaching people about God. Our scripture passage will include verses 26 through 34. So if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open to Mark 4, verses 26 through 34. You can simply follow the words on the screen and they'll appear in just a moment. But again, I'll be reading from Mark 4, 26 through 34. Let's listen now to these words of scripture. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nest in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. If you could travel back to Israel in the first century and ask people who Jesus was, you'd get a bunch of different answers. People would tell you that he was a prophet, a liberator, a troublemaker, a healer, and even a heretic. There are lots of different ideas about who Jesus was. But everyone seemed to agree on one thing. Everyone agreed that Jesus was a powerful teacher. And when we read through the Gospels, we find Jesus teaching in a variety of ways. And there are five that come to mind for me. First, he instructed through signs and wonders. 2 weeks ago, we studied the story about Jesus turning water into wine, and he performed that miracle as a way of telling others about the abundant, overflowing grace of God. He also healed people of their blindness as a way of communicating to us God's desire to heal our distorted vision of life. And when Jesus calmed a storm, he did so as a way of displaying God's desire to bring peace. Now, these are just a couple of examples of Jesus providing instruction through signs and wonders and miracles, but there are many others. Second, Jesus taught through public lectures. Now, there was that time where a large crowd gathered on the hillside near the Sea of Galilee to listen to Jesus teach and preach. On the Sabbath, people would come out to the synagogue to hear Jesus teach on the Scriptures. And then whole neighborhoods would gather together in a single house around a dinner table to glean from Jesus' wisdom. A third way that we see Jesus teaching are in those unplanned, spontaneous moments. This happened when he walked from place to place. It happened when he stopped at a well for a drink of water, and it happened when critics tried to ambush him with trick questions. See, for Jesus, any moment could be a teaching moment. Fourth, Jesus did some of his most powerful teaching when he was alone in a small group setting with his disciples. Quite often he left the crowds and went away with the disciples on retreats so that he could have time to mentor them and prepare them to carry on his work. And then fifth, Jesus loved teaching through stories. He told lots and lots of parables. And whenever Jesus would tell a parable, he would introduce it with the words, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." And I think Jesus said that because he knew communication is hard. People don't always listen to what is said. But stories stick with people. They're powerful and effective, and they reveal important truth. But Jesus' frequent use of parables has left some people wondering, why didn't Jesus just say what he meant? Instead of telling a story about discipleship, the thinking goes, he could have given us a bullet point list of 5 ways to be a good disciple. And instead of telling a story about the kingdom of God, he could have provided a brief definition for it. This would have made things crystal clear, right? I don't think so. You know, see, if you think Jesus could have communicated more clearly and more effectively by giving us a bullet point list or a set of hard and fast rules, try to remember the last time you enjoyed reading Leviticus. There are plenty of rules there. By teaching with parables, Jesus made room for each listener to be swept up into the story where the good news could become part of their own story. Parables are powerful because they help us uncover the kind of deeper meaning that leads to transformation. And the power of these little stories is that they keep people from immediately saying, I agree or I disagree with that teaching. And instead, they take the time to think about what was communicated. Now, Jesus' parables have a way of drawing people into deeper thought by engaging their imaginations and by inviting us to interpret the story instead of arguing with it. Parables invite us to ask questions, stay curious, and seek meaning. And Jesus was a master storyteller. As he told his stories, there is one theme that is repeated again and again, and it's the theme of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Jesus spent a lot of time teaching about God's kingdom, but unfortunately, there's a lot of misunderstanding about this kingdom. Many people think of the kingdom of God as simply the place where the righteous go after they die. But for Jesus, this kingdom was more than just a place to go in the future. It's a reality that we pray will come right now. And there's evidence for this in Jesus' own words. He was known for saying things like, the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, it's within our reach. And that's why Jesus taught his disciples to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus wanted his followers to see the present reality of God's kingdom and to realize that it is different from the kingdoms of this world, the kingdoms that we're all a part of. And these kingdoms include nations, governments, economic systems, and societies. Jesus made that distinction clear through his own life. Let's remember that he lived in the kingdom of Rome, the Roman Empire, and that kingdom had a top-down power structure. Few people at the top controlled everything. They controlled all the masses, and they did so through a different assortment of threats and rewards and punishments. They kept people in line by threatening them with imprisonment, torture, and execution. And in the Roman Empire, the ultimate form of execution was crucifixion. Well, it was through his own crucifixion that Jesus did his most powerful teaching. By being crucified, Jesus exposed the dark side of the kingdoms of this world. It enables us to see their ruthlessness, their violence, and their injustice. And by being crucified, Jesus also demonstrated the truth that God's kingdom wins through gracious sacrifice. Now, I got to say, this is something that we don't fully understand. It's like seed that grows and produces a bountiful harvest. It's a mystery to us. And it's like a tiny little mustard seed that somehow grows into the greatest of all shrubs, as the gospel puts it. Something that small initially seems insignificant. But that's what Jesus says the kingdom of God is like. So it is really hard to wrap our minds around this kingdom. There are lots of different ideas that have come up about God's kingdom. Some of these ideas are better than others, and some are just a distortion of our faith. And I think we see examples of the faith getting distorted in one particular area that I have in mind, and that's the rise of Christian nationalism. Christian nationalism is the belief that our country is a Christian nation and that our government should take active steps to keep it that way. But from my perspective, this movement is more about politics than faith, and it's marked by things like intolerance, hatred, and a lack of love, all of which are not Christian. And even more, it threatens freedom. It threatens freedom of those who think different. See, Christian nationalism really is a distortion of the faith, and it illustrates how easy it is to give our allegiance and our loyalty to a set of values or a movement or a kingdom that isn't of God. Now, recognizing the difference between God's kingdom and the kingdoms of this world is critically important, and it's why Jesus instructed his followers to seek first the kingdom of God. And I think that's why Jesus did so much teaching about it. But what did Jesus teach about God's kingdom? Well, he taught that God's kingdom grows through apparent weakness rather than violent conquest. It grows through reconciliation rather than intimidation. And it grows through a willingness to suffer rather than inflicting suffering on others. See, we learn from Jesus that God is a different kind of king, and that God's kingdom is a different kind of kingdom. But not everybody's interested in this kingdom. Not everyone is interested in the good news that Jesus taught. Some people are just more interested in power or wealth. Some people are obsessed with being famous. And some people are addicted to pleasure and entertainment. People give their loyalty to different things and to different kingdoms. And since these worldly kingdoms, and all worldly kingdoms have in mind, they all have a dark side. And that leaves our world looking like a messed up place. And we may even wonder if God's kingdom will ever come. Let's remember that Jesus told parables about the kingdom of God as a way of reassuring us that it will come. Things may look like they're falling apart, but we can take heart because the kingdom is near. And God is also leading us to do kingdom work, to help make it more of a reality. See, we're like the person in that first parable that I read who scattered seed but didn't know how it grew. We don't know how or when the kingdom will come in its fullness, but it will come because God is bringing it. See, I think Jesus wants us to see that our job is to simply scatter seeds. We're God's workers. God's the one who produces the harvest. Our job is to stay focused on sowing seeds by sharing the good news of God's kingdom with those who have ears to hear. And I realize this is a lot easier said than done, because we're all prone to misplace our priorities, and we misplace our loyalties. And when that happens, we end up scattering seeds for some other worldly kingdom. And I think the really scary part is that we may not even be aware of what we're doing. We may even think we're doing God's work. And that's why we need to look particularly careful at our words and our actions. When we lack kindness, goodness, patience, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness, joy, peace, and love, i.e. the fruits of the Spirit, then we've missed the mark, and it shows us that our loyalty is with something other than God's kingdom. This is what happened to a pastor named Martin Niemöller. Martin lived in Germany in the first half of the 20th century. As a Christian, he loved God. As a German, he loves his country. He considered himself a patriot. But those two worlds blurred together for him, and he was quick to overlook the issues and the shortcomings of his nation. And that led him to a really dangerous place. By the 1930s, he fully embraced and supported the Third Reich. He supported Adolf Hitler. Now, over time, his attitude changed, and he eventually saw the Nazi regime as evil and that he needed to oppose it. And that's when he began speaking out against it. That's when he began speaking out against all the atrocities he was witnessing in his country. But the Nazis, as you would expect, didn't take kindly to this. They arrested Pastor Niemöller and threw him in a concentration camp. And while he was there, he saw firsthand how the Nazis dehumanized people. He also grew in his understanding of God's kingdom. And he understood our role as sowers of seed. And he expressed that thought in a well-known quote. You've probably heard it before, but I want to read it for you today. He said, "First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." As followers of Jesus, we're citizens of God's kingdom. We're called to live like a lamp on a stand, revealing God's goodness, God's kindness, and God's love. We're called to speak up in the face of evil. We're called to live by the values of God's kingdom instead of the values of worldly kingdoms. We are living in a time when it's critically important to live like this because of the prevalence of pain, suffering, anger, distrust, hatred, and violence that we see in our worldly kingdoms. But we know that God's kingdom is unlike these. God's kingdom is eternal. It's a place of abundant life. It's a place of grace and mercy, justice and righteousness. It's a place where all people are cared for. The writer Henry Nouwen describes God's kingdom in this way. He wrote, "For Jesus, there are no countries to be conquered, no ideologies to be imposed, no people to be dominated. There are only children, women, and men to be loved." When we scatter the seeds of God's love, we're showing our world that there's another way, that there's a different kind of kingdom. Part of the adventure of following Jesus is seeking first this kingdom and sharing the good news that God's kingdom invites them in, welcomes them in. Our job is to make this kingdom more visible to our world. So let's do our job. Let's scatter seeds of God's love so that God's kingdom will come here on earth. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we are tempted to give our allegiance to many things other than you. And there are even times when we misplace our priorities and we live in ways that aren't consistent with the gospel. Lord, forgive us. But we are grateful for the reminder that your kingdom is at hand. It's breaking out every day all around us in ways large and small. You invite us to be a part of it. And we're grateful for this undeserved grace. And Lord, may we respond by living in ways that are in line with you. Help us to seek first your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our band's going to lead us in one final song. I'll be in the back of the room if any of you would like to talk or to have me pray for you or to share how you are responding to God. But let's stand now and we will sing together.